All right, so let's look on your sheet there. We've been talking about, so this is just ever since last fall, we started a series called Seven Steps to the Highest Kind of Faith. On Wednesdays, we focus on faith and healing. And those are the primary topics, unless the Lord leads us otherwise. But we've been focusing on faith, and we'll talk about healing in there. Bodily healing. Faith will apply in any area, but you'll notice that we'll focus on that area. If you need healing in your body, you need to be here on Wednesday nights. It's as simple as that. You know, we ought to be here anyway, but if you believe you're hooked up with a local body, then you ought to be there. But if you need healing, we focus on those things that will strengthen you in that area. But we've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith. If you miss those messages, there's a whole bunch of them. We just stay focused as the Lord leads us and camp on things. But there's seven areas that we've focused on. And you can go back and listen to those on the website. And we've been on the part knowing the authority in the name of Jesus. And so all these things we've been talking about is that these things, the Word gives you faith. But if you get these truths settled in your heart, then you'll walk in a higher level of faith. In other words, this Satan, the enemy, will come and try to he knows where your knowledge is of the Word. And so he's going to put pressure on you in certain areas. And if you don't know how to come back with him, we ought to do just as Jesus did. When Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus combated him, came back with the Word. Satan would come with lies or half-truths, and Jesus would counter with the Word. Well, if you don't know the Word in a certain area, Satan will come to you. He does this to everyone. He comes to you with lies, but he'll make them sound true. He'll make them sound like your own thoughts. And they do sound true. And in fact, they could look true in the natural. They could be true as far as fact, but they're not ultimate truth according to God's Word. See, you could look at, somebody could say, well, this is in your life. Look at it. Look at that symptom in your body. Well, you don't have to deny it. You have to say, well, that's not true. No, it's there. But there's a higher power, there's a higher level that God said that by his stripes you were healed, that Jesus bore the punishment for sin and sickness, so that fact in your body, if you'll put into action the Word of God, will change that fact to line up with the Word of God. But Satan knows that if he can come and tell you something and try to discourage you, especially in areas that we're ignorant, tell you, well, no, this is true. This is that you'll never be more than this. This is, look at, your boss doesn't like you. It's obvious. Look what he said. He is a master deceiver. And so you can look at somebody's face and think one thing, and there's something totally different going on in their head, but Satan will come and say they don't like you. But they may just be thinking of the fact that their car broke down or how they're going to get home, you know, in time for dinner or something. So they might have a look on their face, and they might even speak to you, you know, like they don't like you, but really it doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with something else, but Satan will say, they don't like you. You're not going to get anywhere. Well, he knows the truth. But unless you know the Word, you're not going to be able to counter it. So we've been talking about, and he'll do this with every area, he'll try to poke on places where he knows you don't have knowledge of the Word, or he'll try to push on you areas that you're not as strong in, trying to get you to buy the goods. But if you'll, the stronger we get in the Word, then we can counter him and say, no, this is what the Word says. You don't have to argue with him in the natural. You just have to quote the Word. You just have to say, no, this is what the Word says. So we've gone through some of these areas, and we've been talking about knowing the authority in the name of Jesus. I don't have time to go back on everything we covered. I can't re-preach all those, but I encourage you to go back and listen to them. Even if you went back in this series and just listened to the first part in every area, that would do you well. There's seven of them. That would help. But these areas will gird up our faith and make us solid, stronger, so that we don't get pushed over all the time. You know, you think you're going along real well, and then you'll get hit with something, and if you don't know how to counteract it, that thing will knock you off every time. You get going, and then boom, here comes the button, here comes the little attack, boom, you're off, and it sends you reeling for 3 days. Well, the stronger you get, that might knock you off a little bit the next time, but the stronger you get, you can get to where you get hit, but you just knock it right back, and then, I mean, you just keep on trucking. That's where we want to get to. So this topic about the name of Jesus has been misunderstood in Christian circles. People use it as a magic wand, try to use it as a magic wand. That doesn't work. It's not a cure-all. It's not just, it's not something that you just flippantly use. We are talking about the authority and the character of Almighty God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was given to us to use in carrying out His will on this earth. So we all have a commission, we all have a plan, a purpose, a mission, and you're supposed to be using that name of Jesus, His holy name, to remove obstacles, to remove anything that would hinder you from accomplishing what He has commissioned you to do. So let's look at this first scripture, Mark 16, 14 through 18. We've come back to this a few times. It says in verse 15, "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.'" Notice it says, he first said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then in verse 17, he said, and these signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will cast out demons. Demons are real. Just so you know it. They didn't pass away. There are demonic forces in this earth. This is just as much a part of the Bible as any other part. And it says repeatedly in the Bible that Jesus cast out the devil, that there was a spirit of infirmity, or there's a spirit of divination. Those spirits are still in the world. They didn't go anywhere. And some things that people are dealing with, they've tried to explain everything in the natural and say, well, this is the condition that the human body is. This is what really, and poor old ignorant people back in the Bible, they just didn't know, so they called a spirit. They didn't realize that it was this physical condition. But when it says that there's a spirit, there was a spirit. There could have been a physical condition, but there can be a demonic force enforcing that. And this is true today. Yeah, so not all psychics are just playing games. There are that are just playing games. They don't know any. They're just pulling stuff out of a hat. There are psychics that are listening to a demonic force, a familiar spirit. Like, and people get impressed with the supernatural. What? How did they know that? Well, there are demons. They can know where a person lives. They can know what's in the top drawer of their dresser. And then this person's listening to that demon. It's as simple as that. They are real, and you should never mess with them. But we don't have to be afraid of them for exactly this reason. We have authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus whipped them. They are defeated, and they know it, but they won't listen to you unless you know it. The Bible says, in My name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they drink. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So notice he started this all saying, in My name. And then he has this list of things. In My name they will cast out demons. They will speak. In My name they will speak with new tongues. In My name they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. In My name they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. But notice, he started this out saying, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he gave us his name to use to get the job done. He didn't give you his name so that you could get well and you could go around doing stuff so you could go back on the TV and watch it and mess around. Well, I'm just going to use the name of Jesus to get this problem out of my way so I can go party. That's not what he did. And that's the way people try. They wonder why it doesn't work. Because he gave us his name and authority in line with what you're supposed to be doing on this earth. It's his character. He sent you with his authority to carry out his will, not to carry out your will. There's a difference. So as long as we're lined up with him, we're not playing games here, are we? We're not playing games on the earth. We have a job to do. And we have the name of Jesus to get it done, the authority that he gave to us. Let's read Luke 24, 46. It says, "And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He's talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit there, with evidence of speaking in tongues, as it is in Acts. Matthew 28, 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore." So he said, all authority has been given to me. You go, therefore. And he says, in my name, you're going to do these things. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. John 15, 16 there, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. We talked about this, what was it, last week or the week before? You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So again, he's talking about the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go. And what? And bear fruit. We ought not just to be going through life coasting. We ought to be bearing fruit. And notice the kind of fruit we're supposed to be bearing, that it would remain. Lasting fruit. If we're following him, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, if we're growing and listening to the Word, then we are going to grow up. We're going to bear fruit. We're going to do things. What is the fruit? We're going to bring forth those things that would have a positive effect on this earth and for the kingdom of God. And it's going to remain. So you're going to affect those after you. If Jesus doesn't come back, your fruit is going to remain. You are affecting people with your lives. Your life, whether we realize it or not, we affect people. Of course, we know we affect our families, but you affect people at work. You're living in front of them. They see you, and if they know you're a Christian, they ought to just be seeing you. And, you know, like I said on Sunday, we're sticking out more and more in this earth. The difference between the world and somebody that's living for God, that divide is getting larger. Why? Because society as a whole is turning away from the Lord. Now, there are a lot that are turning back, but I'm saying as a whole, our nation is not as godly as it once was. And we're undercutting the very foundations of our nation. We're not acknowledging that the reason we're blessed is because we were founded on Christian principles and it was built into the culture. People didn't even know they were following God, doing godly things, because everybody else is doing it. That's just the way we do it. But that's changing. There's been a lot of other influences, and so people are going away. So we stick out. If you're actually still over here following God and everybody's going this way, you're going to look more and more different by the day, and that's exactly what's happening. But we're supposed to bear fruit. We're supposed to have an effect here. We're supposed to leave a mark. When we leave, there should be a mark that we were there, that we did something. I'm not saying in your flesh. I'm not saying with your natural strength. I'm saying we ought to get the commission from him. He's given us a general commission, but then he's given us a specific commission. if we'll listen on the inside, he has a specific plan for each and every one of us. And if we'll listen to him and follow his voice, follow peace, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, then we'll find that he has a very specific thing for us to do, a very specific commission, and that if we follow him, we'll leave a mark. And if you're in your place doing what you ought to do, you'll be anointed to do it, you'll be gifted to do it like no one else. There is a specific place for each and every one of us. I couldn't take your place, you couldn't take my place, and we shouldn't try. And if the whole body of Christ is like that, it's like a big jigsaw puzzle. Everybody has a specific place. You can try to put some of the, you know, places, the pieces in other places, and they might sort of fit, but they're not going to fit like the person or the piece that's supposed to fit. So he said, I chose you and I appointed you. But notice he said that you may go, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. But notice that's after he said, I chose you, I appointed you, that you may go forth and bear fruit. And then as you're going and bearing fruit and doing what he told you to do, that whatever you ask in his name would happen. He didn't just say, that's a part of the verse. That's not the whole verse. So people are like, well, why doesn't the name of Jesus work? Well, are you doing what he told you to do? Are you where he's told you to be? Because if you're just off doing something else, then number one, you're listening to yourself or listening to the enemy. You're not listening to God. So you're not submitting to him in the first place. But then you want to turn around and want everybody else to submit to you. You want the sickness to submit to you. You want the devils to submit to you. But you're not submitting to God. See, it comes first that we submit to him and do what he would tell us to do. And then because we're doing that, see, what he's told us to do, he's already commissioned something in this way, and he's already paved the way. All we have to do is just use his authority that's already been given to clear the way. So you don't have to clear your own path. He's already, by his command, said, you're commissioned to do this, and it's going to clear the path. We're going to have to use our faith. We're going to have to use the name of Jesus, but it will go. That's a lot different than he's commissioning you this way and you're saying, but I'm going this way. Well, now you're going crosswind. Now you're wondering, why aren't things moving? This is just so hard. Why? Where's Jesus? Where's God? I thought he loved me. Well, he does love you. He told you to go this way. And here's, you know, he's the one that put the oomph behind this plan. And you don't have to do a whole lot. You're going to have to use your faith. You're going to have to walk by your heart and not your sight. But you don't have to move the mountains yourself. You just have to use what he's given us to move the mountains. But he's ordained these to move for you, not these over here. And if you're banging your head up against this mountain and wonder why it's not moving, this is an answer. Go back and say, Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm supposed to be doing it? Am I submitting to your will for my life? And if I am, then you go forward and say, now this has to move. I am commissioned by Almighty God. He's given me authority. I know I'm in the will of God, so you have to get out of the way. Period. Can anyone resist God Almighty? Stand up to him. We have his name. And if he's already commissioned us to go in this direction, then by that very command, he's enabled us to carry it out. If God ever told you to do something, the power to carry it out has already been given. Because by the very fact he commissioned you to do it, when he said go, the power to accomplish it was given, was already present. When he said go to the disciples, go to the other side of the lake, the power was already there to get to the other side. They should never have doubted and said, I don't know if we're going to make it when the storm came. The storm can't keep them from doing what the Lord told them to do. Amen? Look at John 14, verse 12. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Somebody said, well, what are the greater works? Why don't we just do what Jesus did, the works, and then let's worry about the greater works? When we say the dead raised, you know, demons cast out, blind eyes healed, people getting saved. Okay, then worry about the greater works. Number one, you could say we have the whole body of Christ. There was Jesus. Now we have millions. So you could say that's greater right there. But people get hung up on, say, well, what are the greater works? And sit there and don't go out and do anything. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything, what? Anything in line with his will. Anything that is along the lines of what he's commissioned. In other words, he's not going to grant something in his name that would contradict his word. You'd think it'd be obvious, but people do stupid stuff. People go down, you know, the Brother Hagin would tell the story when people would go down to Rhema Bible Training Center, or Rhema Bridal Training Center, people would call it. Go down there, and they would claim, they would see some, you know, guy would see some girl across the room there and say, I claim that girl for my wife. Well, what if you don't like her? I mean, you don't even know the person. Brother Hagin said he had a guy come up to him and tell him that, Brother Hagin was driving a Bronco at this point, and said, I've claimed your truck there, that's mine. That's foolishness. But people would think, well, no, it's obvious that this is in line with the Word of God. I mean, you have people that are claiming somebody else's spouse. Was it Kenneth Copeland that said that somebody... That somebody told Glory or something that I've claimed him, Brother Copeland as his wife or as her husband. That's sad. You got to use sense. I mean, Jesus is not saying here anything that you ask in my name. No, number one, it's got to line up with the Word of God. And number two, you got to ask the Lord, well, what would you have me to believe for? Well, I just believe for 10,000 oil wells. Okay, number one, you don't have the faith for it. Number two, why do you want it? And is it God's will? Because unless the Lord prompts you to do something, it's not going to happen. You can't just go out and claim any little thing. Anyway. But that'll answer a lot of questions, because people are like, well, you know, I claim that $70,000 car, and it just didn't come to pass. Well, was it the Lord's will for you to have it? And I mean, was that the next step? Maybe you can't handle a $70,000. You know how much it costs to put tires on a $70,000 car? Some people don't think about the maintenance of stuff. You know, they're just like, well, I just want it. Well, you got to take care of it. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you got to ask the Lord. Look at the next one there in John. It says, in that day you will ask me nothing, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to walk in his will and for our joy to be full. Now, it doesn't mean you're always just jumping around and saying, this is great. As far as I love everything that's happening to me, like your flesh will just love it. If you walk in the will of God, you may go through some stuff, not God dictating it, but just because we do have an enemy, we do have somebody opposing us, he doesn't have authority over us, but if you think it's always going to be a cakewalk in the will of God, that you're always just, your flesh is always going to just jump up and down, then you have another thing coming. Because if you walk with God, you're going to grow. Everybody know that? If you truly walk with God, he's not going to let you stay in the same place. You are going to grow up. You're going to have to grow up. He's going to keep bringing you up, and he's going to stretch you. And that doesn't feel good. You're going to have to use your faith. You're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. And so that doesn't always make your flesh happy. Your flesh may want to run away. Anybody know what I mean? Yes. Your flesh may be just be like, I want to go back to bed. But you have to, you don't go by what you see. You don't go by what you feel. He said, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full, that you go and press into the things of God and press into what He has for you, and you will go from victory to victory to victory, and things, your joy will be full. You'll say, oh, I'm so glad I pushed forward and I didn't miss out on this. I've seen that over and over in my life. But you know one thing I've seen? You don't get to coast. You don't get to a certain level and be like, man, it's so nice. Now, I'm so glad I didn't quit. But then you look forward and you still got a job to do. Just because you've seen victories in the past doesn't mean everything just parts for you in the future. But the joy of the Lord is there. If you'll let Him have His way and act on His word, use His name, know the authority in that name. And we've talked about that. We don't have time to recap it. I'm kind of just going through some of these scriptures to sew some of these things up. But we focused on these different areas. And so I can't re-preach all that. But we focus on the fact that the authority in the name of Jesus is similar to you having the power of attorney on the earth for some other person. You don't have to be convinced that it's going to work. Like, you may not understand how it's going to work, but legally it's yours. And you have to act on it. And if you act on it, the law is the law. And you'll see things just in the natural happen, even if your mind's like, well, how is that possible that I can sign my name as if I'm this person, and it, you know, this bank account, this money comes out? Well, that's the way the law's set up. And that's the way it is with the name of Jesus. You have to understand what He did for you and be convinced of that enough to use it, and then anything opposing it has to flee. Satan knows he's defeated. Satan knows the name of Jesus, but he'll push on you to get you to withdraw and get you not to use it. Well, you don't really believe that, do you? And so he'll get you to back off, and then he's got you if he gets you to back off. And our job is to just trust Him and to use His name and to believe it and not to back off, and we'll see what we've believed for come to pass. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Let's read a few more of these. I think we're just sewing some of this up. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, we spent some time there as well. It says, therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We spent some time on that. Jesus, His name is above every name. Above every name. And so we should not use it lightly. We ought, if we realize what we're wielding. The number one, you'll realize that it's not a question if the disease has to leave. You realize it's not a question of whether oppression has to leave. It has to, because every name has to bow at the name of Jesus. It's not a question. But so many times we're pushed on to where we back off at it, like I said. Look at Matthew 18 here. 19, it says, again, I say to you, I just wanted to print, I just felt, you know, like I said, I don't usually print these off, but I just thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and print it off. You guys have, this isn't all the ones I had, but this is a sheet of several of the ones we've gone over all in one place, and it's good just, it's a lot easier to go over them rapidly now than having you guys turn every couple seconds. We can just look at them, and it's good to lay your eyes on these, you know, all in one after another. It says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. We say that when we pray, like we just did before this. We're knitting our hearts together. Yes, I've prayed. Yes, I've done some things. But when I come, we're joining together and saying, all right, this is what we're believing for this time. And we're committing ourselves and we're hooking our faith up together and drawing on the Holy Spirit. And that's when you see things happen. You're drawing. You realize somebody could be sitting right next to you and get nothing, and yet you could get things that change your life. It's not all the speaker. It's so much to do with the hearer. And if all the hearers are there pulling on not me, but the gift and what God and on the Holy Spirit and pulling through, you will pull things right out of a minister, whether it's me or anybody else. You're pulling from the Lord. And so we agree. That's why we do that. Not as a ritual, not as just an exercise, but if you believe this scripture. This is Jesus speaking. He said, again, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, again, it's got to be something within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven, for where two or three are gathered in my name, in my character, in my authority, I am there in the midst of them. Do you believe that? Yes. God, Jesus said he's here in the midst of us. Now, his Spirit is in us. But the presence of Almighty God is here in a different measure right now, because we're gathered together in his name, because we're drawing on the mighty Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God is here in a different way in this congregation, in a corporate setting, than he is when you're just home alone. Now, he's there with you, but it's just a different level. It's just a different flow. But notice he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name. And then a couple more. These are pretty much parallel scriptures. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do. That right there, if you just understood that, that would take care of so many things. So many things that we try to compromise with God. Now hear what I'm saying. Not saying this to condemn any of us, okay? But next time you're wondering, well, can I do that or not? God want me to do that or not? Just when you do it, if it's a habit or something, next time you do it, just go and say, God, I'm doing this to the glory of your name. And see what that feels like in the inside, and see if that just lines up. You know, like one inside guy said he was trying to quit smoking and was arguing with Brother Hagin about it. You know, just something about that. And Brother Hagin says, that's fine. Just next time you do it, just go, as you take a puff, say, I'm doing this to the glory of your name. And he said that ended the discussion right there, because the guy realized this isn't to the glory of God. I'm not doing this to the glory of God. It'll clear up a lot of stuff. When you think of, well, can I do this at work or not? Well, I don't know. Where is it in the Bible? Just look at it and say, Lord, I'm doing this right here. All these people watching me, I'm doing this to the glory of your name. And then see if what kind of feeling you get, and see if that would glorify God. And you'll get a lot of answers right there. You won't have to pray about it. You won't have to ask anybody about it. God right there will answer. You'll say, yep, okay, I got my answer. I understand. That's not actually for the glory of God, or actually it is. It is glorifying God. Because we're supposed to not just come and glorify God here. Well, we're going to get together in church. We're going to sing some songs, praise God, and this is where we glorify God. This is where we get strengthened, and we do glorify God, but we go out into the world where it's dark, and then you're supposed to shine. And you're supposed to glorify God in the world. If it isn't good out in the world and on your job, then what good is it? Well, I don't know. I feel really good in church, but when I just get here with all these heathen around me, some people say, I can't make it work. Just, Lord, put me in a job with all Christians. No, you wouldn't like that either. because you'd still be with people. But number two, God said we're supposed to go. Jesus said we're supposed to go in the middle of people that don't have Him and shine. And if you can't do it when you're on the job, then your strength is not, you're not that strong. You know, as the one proverb says that he who's compromises, and this is paraphrasing, but basically if you compromise in the midst of the wicked, you're like a polluted stream. You know, you're muddy. If you think you're real clean, you do a good job when you're all with a bunch of believers, but you go out and as soon as you get around somebody else, you just kind of turn and start doing what they do, then you're not strong. You need to get stronger. You need to rely on the Word of God inside of you and on the Spirit of the living God. Because we're supposed to be able to stand in the midst of wickedness and still be light and strong and be glorifying God. Well, I just can't do it. It's just too much for me. Well, then we need to spend more time with Him so that when we go out, and don't be stupid about it, don't go somewhere where you're tempted. You know? Somebody said, I don't have this like memorized, but about breaking habits. You know, you go down, first step is, it's like you falling in a hole. And you're just walking along. Somehow you find yourself in a hole and you're like, how'd I get here? This isn't my fault. What's going on? And then finally you bump around, you get out of the hole and you realize, okay, then you go on your merry way. The second stage is you fall in the hole. You realize you did something to get there. You still bump around in a little while. You acknowledge it's not just everybody else's fault, but okay, I get out. Third way is you come down and you see the hole coming and you still fall into it. And now you get out, you get up, you go, okay, I'm in the hole. I see how I got here, but I'm going to get out. The fourth way is you're walking down the street, you see the hole, you almost fall in it, you go around it and you make it and you go down the street and don't fall in the hole. And the fifth way is you take a different street. And that's the way you get, because that's the way you grow. If you don't understand what you're doing and you have a problem, people are like, "This ain't my fault. I don't know why this is happening. What's going on?" But then you start to realize, you know, I think I might have something to do with this. And then you can start seeing that you're about to do the same thing. You're like, I know I'm going to do it, but here I go, and you do it anyway. And then you can see it coming. You know, I know I'm going to do it, but I can see it good enough, and oh, I missed it, and I'm going, yes, victory. But you start to see, you know, it's when this happens that I start being tempted. And so you say, I'm not going there anymore. Now I just start going down over here, and I don't have a problem anymore. That's the process. As long as we say, not my fault, I don't know why I got here, then we'll just keep, every time we come up, we'll just keep falling in that hole. But when you start realizing, I see what's going on, I'm not going there anymore. You're free. Free. And God meant us to be free. All right, let's wrap this thing up. I think it's 8 o'clock. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, let's read it. We'll close. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are supposed to live a glorious life here on earth. It's not like it's going to be when we get to heaven, but while we're here and we have a job to do, we are commissioned. We're supposed to be going forth in the name of Jesus, doing everything we're doing in the name of Jesus, using His name and His authority to remove obstacles, walking with Him according to His will. If we make sure we're in His will and following Him, there is nothing that can stop us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.